Hi, Dad. It's harder to fly down there.
To get a bird's eye view of TC trailers, son.
TC trailers?
Look, there, over 300 trailers on the lot, including goosenecks. They have more parts than we have feathers and a full in-house repair shop. If humans aren't pulling a TC trailer, son, they're not pulling their weight. Fly in or visit tc-trailers.com.
Are your brakes squeaking or grinding? Is it time for an alignment? Before you hit the road, hit up Big O Tires in Lebanon. Big O Tires on State Road 39 can help you get back on the road in no time. With dependable service, honest advice, and fast turnaround times, Big O Tires in Lebanon is the team you trust. Stop in and talk to owner Alan or manager Lauren, or call 765-388-4715. Visit them on Facebook at Big O Tires in Lebanon to stay up to date on exclusive offers. When your car needs care, trust the name drivers rely on, Big O Tires.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, can an Ivy Tech degree get me a good career? Well, some say good, and some say great. In 2 years or less, you can earn an associate degree or certificate, qualifying you for some of Indiana's fastest-growing career fields, and earning you an average of $37,777 the first year after graduation. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
Welcome back to Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7. Again, presented by Clinton Carroll, BooneCountyDailyNews.com. Big deals, Big O Tires, Ivy Tech Community College, and TC Trailers. The online telecast we are hustling around at HoosierlandTV.com is brought to you by Mann Chevrolet, GMC in Delphi, Jerry's Body Shop, Lena's Furniture and Mattress, Avery Home Store, Braden Business Systems, Copper Electric Services, VFW Post 1110, Marshan's Window Tinting, Ellis Jewelers, Witham Health Services, Tornado Roofing, Siding and Gutters, Simplify Family Dental, The Community Foundation, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Newell Gas, Welty Exteriors, Arborwood by Shoops, Big O Tires, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Culligan Water of Boone and Clinton County, Shoops Country Foods, The Farmers Bank, and 51 West Event Center.
In-house right now, you'll see Brendan Bright, investigator of the Clinton County Prosecutor's Office. Hi, thanks for coming in.
Good morning, thanks for having me.
I'll get you back. Get it. Oh, that was good. Thanks for coming in. I know you're always busy doing something for sure.
Sure.
But what's going on with you right now? I mean, you got I guess for me, for what you do now, and knowing you for years and knowing what you've done in the past, I mean, you were a sheriff's deputy for years.
Right. 18 years at the sheriff's office.
And then you're serving now as the investigator for the prosecutor's office, but then you're also still a marshal at Kirkland.
Part-time town marshal.
My gosh.
Kirkland.
Yeah. How many hats do you wear?
Yeah.
Well, at least a couple.
Exactly. But does that make it difficult going, well, actually, I could see where it would make it coming from that law enforcement background into being an investigator for the prosecutor's office. I see where that is a huge advantage, but also being a town marshal still working, you know, in law enforcement. How do you balance all of that? I mean, that's a lot to balance. You're coming at it from different angles at the same time, and you were a detective with the sheriff's department too, as well. So
sure,
you know, you've had a lot of experience in different areas. So talk about the pros and the cons of that.
Time management, yes, you definitely have to balance doing so many things. I got to prepare, always look ahead to my calendar, make sure I know what's going on, and thank goodness for Google calendars. I don't know how, you know, people did it. I carried a calendar around with them, I guess is what I used to do. So, but it's really broadened my perspective doing, I was with the sheriff's office for 18 years, worked patrol for 8 years, detective 8 years, and then decided to broaden my perspective a little bit and branch out to the prosecutor's office on the investigator side. But I also took the job at the Kirkland Town Marshal part-time just to keep my, boots on the ground, to stay in that law enforcement on that side of it. So, yes, definitely different perspectives. You see the small town policing is different than the larger town or the city or the county agencies. And then going to the prosecutor's office, you see a whole different side of things. You see, when the cases get handed off to the prosecutor's office, a lot of police officers they go on to the next call and next call. And by the time they really come back up, it's usually months, if not even a year or two later. So being there for the last 5 years, I've really seen how, to work together, how important that is to really stay in communication, to keep that case moving forward and to keep tabs on that as you work through.
Does it kind of, when you're working with officers now and having seen both sides of it, are you able to offer them advice as far as, like, when they're doing their due diligence, how attention to detail, even the most minute little detail can be extremely pertinent to the case?
Sure. Yeah, I'll offer advice if they're willing to listen. Some are and some aren't. That's just human nature, though, of course.
Yeah.
But yes, you really see, it's easy to Monday morning quarterback in any position, and definitely in the police position. So, yes, when that opportunity arises, you do, there are opportunities to say, hey, if you just would have, noted this one thing in the report, something that you saw there that we didn't know right away, that could have saved a lot of time, in the future.
Gathering evidence, for the most part, most of that's done by the officers, but then you have to go back in and retrace their steps, basically, and take a look at that evidence and go back and see. I don't want to say if they missed anything, but you're definitely looking for other options. So kind of talk us through, and I know every case is different. There is no basic setting for each case that matches everything. But kind of walk us through what that's like when you initially get that case handed to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, the biggest problem I see is trying not to Monday morning quarterback, because I have been there. I've been there on the patrol side. I've been there on the detective side, and then I've gotten the phone calls from the prosecutor's office as a detective. And so you really got to be cautious to not do that. And if they miss stuff, evidence at the scene at that point, all you can do is educate and have them learn from it. You can't have them go back months later and get that evidence. So, if they didn't grab it at the time, they didn't grab it. But you just go through that evidence that comes in, and, you try to work with them, and if they miss something, you just educate them to try to do better next time.
What's been the biggest challenge for you going from one to the other?
Probably, which is ironic, because when I was a detective and you'd send stuff to the prosecutor's office, they would ask you to follow up on stuff, and I'd say, well, that's your job as the investigator, So now that I'm in that position, I understand it a little bit better now, because it's not my case to follow up on. And I will to help, but you don't want to do that to step on somebody's toes, because it is their case. They know the case in and out. They've worked it for weeks, if not months. And so one of the biggest challenges is just trying to coordinate with, usually work with the detectives, by the time the case comes up, and try to work with them to see what I can do to help them out, versus trying to ask them to do more follow-up and do things with the case.
Now, do you have to work with other agencies as well in your position?
Yes, I work with all police agencies, whether it's the state police, Frankfort Police, the sheriff's office, then all the small towns, and then we also deal with DNR, Every now and then we'll deal with the excise police, the U.S. Postal Inspectors, some federal agencies too. But majority of it is the local, the city, the county, and the state police, and then the small towns.
Investigator for the Clinton County Prosecutor's Office, Brendan Bright, is our guest on Party Line today.
So, as a detective coming in, and I don't know, let's go back and talk about some of that, because I don't think a lot of people realize exactly, because you've seen all of it, you can actually go from walking from when the arrest is made, and talk about what that's like, you know, all the way through, because we don't always get to hear that side of it, and you lived it. So talk about how a case can develop or how it starts.
Yeah, I mean, usually the case will start, you know, with a call into the dispatch center, and usually a case gets dispatched to the road deputies or road officers first. Sometimes they will just send that case up, depending on the severity of it. They will type it up, and they send it to the detectives for review. Bigger cases, obviously, you get a phone call. You get phone calls 24/7, all hours of the night, and at that point, then you usually make the decision. Usually, if they call you in the middle of the night, or when they call you, usually you go out to the scene. So you're there a little bit more hands-on to know what's going on. So so you got two different avenues there. But either way, when the case comes up to you, I mean, that's just the very beginning, that initial report, when they take that initial information, because things change and things develop, and it's never really what it seems maybe at the first. And it is a long, somewhat tedious process, and we'd get calls all the time, like people want their case solved, like right now, where are you at with it? Where are you at with it? And I just had that recently. I talked to a detective yesterday. Somebody stopped me on the street and wanted to know where their case was. And I said, well, it's only been a few days, but, you know, I get it. I understand it. It's important to those people because it's their case. But mm-hmm. most detectives have multiple cases they're working, and there's time management there, and there's prioritizing, you know. And then if you're working on something and something bigger comes up, you drop what you're doing and you go do that. So, so anyway, so you're working through that case, and you know you're interviewing people, and you're possibly getting search warrants, and working closely with the prosecutor's office, you know, to get those warrants if needed. And it's what I liked about the detective side. It's such a it's a process that you really got to think through, and then get everything wrapped up before you submit that case for the prosecutor's office to file the charges.
When you're looking at I guess what I want to ask is, how do you know when you got enough? I mean, do you go to the prosecutor's side of it and say, hey, this is what we got. Do you think this is enough? Sure. Or what do we need, you know, what do we need to do to make this stick, or make it at least worth following or pursuing even farther?
Sure. I mean, obviously, since the prosecutor's office will ultimately be trying the case and charging, yes, you have to keep communication, and officers are good with that, detectives, and you have to keep in communication with them, because you never know. I guess for me personally, I tend to be more on the side of a perfectionist, and at some point you just have to stop and say, okay, this is enough, and go work your other cases. And but yes, you have to be in communication with the prosecutor's office and say, what more do you need? And this is where it comes back and say, we'll do, you know, A, B, C, and D, and then submit it again.
You just keep looking at me like,
this is her cup of tea. She's into this.
To an extent, it is. To an extent. But
I think in another life, she was an investigator somewhere. I really do.
No, I just spent a lot of time on the roads and out in the wrecks and all that kind of stuff with these guys. That's how I met Brendan to begin with. As at a wreck scene, I think. Oh. We were at a wreck or a fire scene, and that's when I met you.
Working patrol, yes.
Yep, exactly. When we just heard, I mean, the news just broke, basically, of another ring of child pedophiles, for lack of a better term. When things like that come up, and of course we have, you know, we've seen the drug arrest of several people statewide, or even people from out of state that have been caught here in Indiana. When stuff like that comes up, how involved are you at this point in part of that investigation is to, I mean, they surely have to give you a heads up that this is what we're doing, this is what we're working on, because some of those investigations can be years, or they can be just a few weeks before they get delivered to your lap, basically.
Right. Well, you know, actually in my role as the investigator, they will talk to me, but most of the time they are talking directly to the prosecutors, because they are the ones making the charging decisions. Then the deputy prosecutors will talk to me and have me do some stuff, and if I need to assist with that case. But yeah, they're long and drawn out and pretty tedious, so they're in constant communication.
I can see why things take a while to get done now. I hadn't thought about it, but you're right. When you have multiple cases, when you have to wait for other people to get information, when you have to get court time, when you have to, I mean, all these things snowball into why things take, you know, more time than what we maybe who are going through it think they should. So I can see why it takes a while.
Well, and especially when you have multiple, if you have a certain circumstance where you have multiple agencies involved,
mm-hmm.
that has to make it even more difficult.
When I used to train people back at the sheriff's office, I would tell people that, you know, just like you said, we met at an accident scene. We do this over and over and over. You have to put yourself in their position. This is once in a lifetime, twice in a lifetime. You know, I don't care if it's even just hitting a deer. You know, most people don't hit more than a couple of deers in their life. So you got to not fall into that trap of just being, oh, it's just another day at work, and, you know, just go through the motions. You have to, you know, have a little empathy with them. And that goes for any case, you know, whether it's a burglary or a theft. You know, I don't want anything stolen from me, but yet in law enforcement, we deal with it so much, you've got to really resist that temptation just to say it's just another number, another statistic, and just move on. You really have to put yourself in that position. And how would you feel, you know, if you were involved personally?
Yeah, but it's got to be hard, though, to keep that, I want to say keep that compassion when, like you said, you've got people walking up to you on the street saying, well, why isn't this done? And why, you know, why isn't that done? It's got to be hard to walk that tightrope.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you've got to reset yourself every now and then, and again, ask yourself why you're doing what you're doing. Why do you sign up for what you're doing? You know, at the end of the day, we're here to serve and protect. And, you know, if you're getting to that point towards becoming mundane and routine, you might want to look for something different. But yeah, everybody needs a reality check every now and then. And
does it ever really get routine in what you do? I mean, I think about how things, we talk about all the time how things have changed here. Even the schools now have laptops. But think about even now, whoever thought back in the day that we would have cybercrime?
Right.
I mean, things in your world are changing as well. So I don't know that there is a typical day for you, really, is there?
No, I mean, there's always something new that, you know, we're battling. But I'm just talking about, the, you know, the normal, you know, mm-hmm. like a car deer accident that happens, or a little fender bender, or...
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Even your world has changed in what you do every day based on how our world has changed.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, when I came on, we didn't even have laptops in the car. We had cell phones, and, I'm not that old, but we had cell phones we could use like 40 minutes a month, you know, and basically we're told not to use them. And,
yeah,
you know, over my career, we got, obviously, laptops, connectivity,
yeah.
Now we connect, and then the cameras and videos, a whole different story, you know, the body cameras, car cameras, dash cameras. You know, none of that existed. And it's really interesting to see where we're going to be in another 10 years, though, because we're going to sit here and say, oh, wow, we had no idea we'd be doing this or using this. And obviously AI is the big thing now. You know, law enforcement has to use that, you know, and use it to their advantage. But then there's AI crimes that we're going to have to investigate. So, yes, it's ever changing for sure.
Are we locally able to, and I'm just going to give you an example. My mom was scammed out of money. It's been a few years ago now. And the officers, and this was not in this state, she was still living out of state at the time, said, basically, ma'am, there's no way we can track that. I mean, is that still the case, that it's pretty hard to track some of that?
Yes. I mean, I hate to say that.
Yeah.
But most of it's overseas.
That's what I wondered.
Whether it's an email or a phone call, the emails usually have bad grammar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can just tell. And it's just not a normal email. And if it's a...
Well, and the addresses, I mean, all you got to do is look at the email address.
Right.
And it's not credible from an actual business or anything like that. It's from some individual or off-the-wall email address.
Yeah, but realistically, it is hard to work those cases and to get any kind of hold anybody accountable or get anybody's monies back.
And we can constantly see scams. I just saw another one out the other day that was coming from something else. What can you tell folks about how to kind of protect themselves from these scams? Because, you know, we want to believe everybody's good. They're not. We don't know some of these people. But when you see something that maybe says it's coming from, I don't know, the sheriff's office or the police department or maybe from the courthouse, we think, oh, gosh, am I going to get in trouble? I better take care of this.
Right.
When really it's not. It's a scam.
Yeah. My general answer is just hit delete.
See, I'd like that.
Yeah. But then you might miss something important. I get that, too. So, again, it's just a lot of it is just the look at the punctuation, look at the grammar. If you do click on that, don't click on the link, but if you just hold your mouse over there, you can look at the website, and it's something completely crazy. You know, if it's something coming from our local courts, it's going to be Clinton County and IN.gov, you know, and it's not going to be, you know, 122 characters long that you don't even know what it is. So, yeah, just generally, if it's too good to be true, if they're trying to promise you money, you know, and but the ones that really get people, they say that there's a warrant for them and you have to do this or you've got a fine to pay on a toll road or stuff like that. But it's a constant battle. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people that are targeted is the older generation. And, you know, when they were younger, they might not have fallen for that. But now they're you know, they might be a little bit more or likely to give money to bond their grandkids out. That's a common one, too. You know,
I've seen that one as well.
Yeah.
And that's becoming a problem now with AI and the voice synthesization. They can synthesize your voice and make it sound like somebody you know. So
recommendations are really, if it's, you know, they say it's your grandkid, hang up and then call your grandkid. Don't let them call you. You call them, ask them. And if it's something that maybe comes in their email, maybe call the courthouse, call the sheriff's department or wherever it is, police department, whoever it's coming from, postal service, whatever, and make sure that it's real.
But don't use the number in the email. Make sure
you call directly.
Get
what they'll do, they'll go to your local website and they'll find out the officers. Everybody's listed there and they'll say, hey, I'm Detective so-and-so. So from the sheriff's office, and you know, well, you're right. Call the local number and talk to that person, and I guarantee you they're going to say it wasn't me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Most definitely. When I know we're getting close on time, but I wanted to ask you, you were talking about the video cameras and you know, having the body cams and everything else now. When a case gets turned over to the prosecutor's office, how much research or do you have to watch a lot of video and stuff to help them out? To pick out the, you know, even just marking times on videos and stuff as to what's pertinent to a case?
So there's a couple different times when they would ask me for help, and that's if they need to make a charging decision. And a lot of times the prosecutors will watch it, and they'll ask me to watch it for my opinion. But there's so much video to answer. The general question is, no, we don't. Everybody thinks that's all I do is sit there and watch video. And there's just hundreds and thousands of hours of video we don't. So the other time would be when it comes up for trial as things are getting closer. And then that video might need to be more reviewed and just to pick stuff out of it. But one of the main things I do is just compile the video. I retrieve the video from the local agencies, and then I share it with the defense attorneys. And it's just constantly downloading, uploading. So the amount of video, even just since I've been there for 5 years, is just really multiplied. And so I can't even imagine what's going to be like later. But there's so much video to answer your question. No, you can't really review a lot of it until it comes up for trial or if they're trying to make a charging decision to see whether, you know, there's enough evidence to file criminal charges.
Is having the officer's body cam and their dash cams, I mean, in my world, I would think, oh, that has to make your job easier in a lot of ways. And is that true? Just having that is, or are there times you're like, oh,
no, I'd say 100%. I'd say most officers would agree with that. When I was at the sheriff's office, we were one of the first agencies around to get body cameras when I was a lieutenant there, and I really promoted that. And what we found was there was some reluctance at first because not many agencies had body cameras. And once we gave them out to a few officers to test them, you know, after a few months, they're like, oh, my gosh, this is awesome, you know. And, you know, now if they're broken, they want them fixed. They want a replacement because it does protect you. You know, because there's so many times people will make allegations and, you know, you can just say, watch the video. So, and it also helps them on other reports. They can review that video for accuracy. You know, it's, you know, if they didn't take all the notes they needed to at the scene, they can review that. So, generally speaking, yes, most officers like the video. The body cameras are becoming obviously even more important, and maybe even the dash cameras. When I, you know, first started in the camera at the sheriff's office, we were doing dash cameras mainly, and we had like wireless mics so you could still hear people. But, you know, that's more for maybe like an OWI driver weaving all over the road or something like that. But
yeah, I would think they would be, I mean, like you said, being able to go back and review that to do, I remember what my paperwork was like. I would have loved to have something to be able to go back and review with. But it's almost like having a video interview when you're sitting there talking with the person that you know, maybe had the issue or had something happen to them. You're getting their point of view, and it's all videoed so that you can make sure you have that accuracy. And it's good for them, too, as right. well.
I mean, that does, like I alluded to earlier, the deputy prosecutors will actually review some of that because they can almost be at the scene, you know, rather than just reading a report. And obviously some reports are good, some are more detailed than others. So if they do pull up that camera, that it's almost like they're sitting there at the scene watching what's happening, listening to what's being said, and then they can make that decision a lot easier whether, yes, this is, you know, we're filing or no, we're not filing charges.
Well, last question before we let you out of here, Brendan. NCAA pick?
Well, Purdue, of course.
Okay.
You think they're going all the way?
Final Four, we'll go that
far. Okay, yeah. I was going to say, I would love to say yes, but the reality is we'll see. Fingers crossed anyway. Yeah. All right, Brendan Bright is the investigator for the Clinton County Prosecutor's Office. Thank you so much for joining us today. We sincerely appreciate it. Good to have you in. Also, we do have that family four-pack of tickets for the Indiana State Museum and Historic Sites. You can use this at the museum or at the historic sites, but it is a four-pack, good for general admission for four visitors at any of those locations. Good through the end of this year, so you have plenty of time to use them. Maybe you'll use it at spring break. Maybe you'll want to go during the summer months. Whatever, it's a family four-pack. Just be the first caller right now, 659-3338. In the meantime, thank you for listening to Party Line. Have a great weekend, everybody.